Welcome, everybody, to Parshas Bishalach, 5770. In today's class, I would like to address three main questions. And it's going to seem like I'm all over the place, but let's wait patiently till the end, and God willing, everything will come together. Question number one. We had the 10 plagues, the 10 makos, in Mitzrayim. And we learned a whole lot about Hashem's power, Hashem's omnipotence. And it was great, very, very great revelation. In this week's parsha, Bishalach, we have Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And that is also a great revelation. My question is, what is the difference between the revelation of the Kriyas Yamsuf and the revelation of the Eser Makos? Let's assume that since there's a progression here, there was something greater that was revealed at the sea than was revealed already in Mitzrayim. And if it's greater, in what way is it greater? Question number two. We know that after the Jewish people beheld the sea and their salvation at the Yam Suf, they sang a Shira. The question is, what is the nature of a Shira? A Shira is something of great joy. It's an expression of simcha. You know what? I'm going to have to look at my notes a little bit better. So I'm going to pause for a moment on that question. Okay. So, Shira is an expression of simcha. Now, what is the ultimate simcha in life? I've heard it said that when a person realizes that they are completely in Hashem's hands, completely dependent on the all-powerful, omnipotent God, and that He holds us in His hands, there's nothing that can happen to us that's against His will, that is the source of simcha. Simcha is when one experiences when he realizes he's completely dependent on Hashem. I have heard that explanation, and that would make a little bit of sense here because the Jewish people went through the Yam Suf from one moment thinking that they were going to be wiped out by the Egyptians, and the next moment they are safe on the other side, and the Egyptians are drowned in the sea. And they did nothing but rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they broke out with Simcha, with Shira. The problem I have with that approach and that answer is that what that is saying is that the ultimate joy is when one is powerless and completely in Hashem's hands. But we're taught that the whole reason why we have to come to this world and we can't go straight to Olam Haba is because if we went straight to Olam Haba, which is a world where there is no choice on our parts, but we're just basking in the glory of Hashem, that's not really the greatest good. Because then we have nothing. We're nothing. We haven't done anything to deserve to choose to have this connection. It was just handed to us on a silver platter. And just like a person does not feel joy when he's given tzedakah, when he's given charity, but rather when he works at it and he earns it, that's the same way it is with us and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how can we say that simcha is a recognition that we're as if to say, we're nothing and Hashem is everything. How can that be the ultimate expression of joy? That's question number two. And question number three, and again, these are broad strokes, and it sounds like I'm all over the place. We have a term in the Sfarim, Amuna and Bitachon. Faith and trust. What's the difference between Amuna and Bitachon? My son, who's my oldest son, Victor, who's married to Shani Friedman, said that when they were on a date, she popped the question. A lot of girls apparently ask their yeshiva bachur dates to answer this question. What is the difference between Amuna and Bitachon? And she wanted to know what he said about this. So, I won't go into the answer that he said to her. He quoted the Chazon Ish. But I want to ask that question. What is the difference between Amuna and Bitachon? Between faith in God and trust in God. So again, to review. Question number one, what was the greater revelation at Kriyas Yamsuf than at Mitzrayim with the 10 plagues? Question number two, what is the source of Simcha? Is it the realization that everything is dependent on Hashem? Or does it somehow involve our partnership, as is well known, the explanation of Rabbi Luzzatto in the purpose of the creation of this world before the world to come? And number three, what is the difference between Amuna and Bitachon? So I would like to present two ideas that Baruch Hashem I had this week, and I'm not sure if both ideas answer all the questions, but between the two of them, Mirtz Hashem will have some clarity of these ideas. The question about what is the source of Simcha. Here's the first idea. The first idea is that, of course, we have to be involved. Of course we will not have Simcha if we're just passive, even if we are completely protected, provided for, carried in the loving embrace of Hashem. That in and of itself will not create Simcha. We know that there are also two important terms. There's Hishtadlus and there's Bitachon, human endeavor and trust in God. A Torah personality who's growing up, particularly in his younger years, teenage years, and into the 20s and 30s, when he starts to embark on an independent life, when he leaves the cocoon of his parents' home, or even of the yeshiva, he has to contemplate and he has to grapple with the question of how much hishtadlus and how much bitachon. How much do I have to do? And usually we're thinking of it in terms of parnasa, the livelihood. So the question is, how much do I have to do, and how much will Hashem provide? And the answer to that question varies from person to person and from year to year and maybe from even minute to minute. But all agree that there's got to be some hishtadlus and there's got to be some bitachon. And both components are important. If there's no hishtadlus, if we're not putting in effort, then we're not fulfilling a mitzvah. God commanded us to be involved with our own life and take steps for our parnasa, for our health, and for even for our spirituality. We've got to do some work. And if we don't, we can't expect God to serve us on a silver platter. That's not the way He wants it to be. So there's got to be hishtadlus. On the other hand, if there's hishtadlus, and a person thinks that it's really dependent upon hishtadlus, then not only are we not living the way God wants us to live, but we're never going to be happy either. Because can you think of it? If I think that it all depends on me, when am I ever going to be happy? When am I going to think that I've done enough? When am I going to think that I have enough? If I don't do the hishtadlus, I won't be happy either. Because then either I'll get nothing, which maybe I deserve. Or if I do, it's a total freebie. It's in spite of me. So you see that there's no, number one, it's not a proper way of living not to have both hishtadlus and bitachon, but it's also not possible to have simcha without both. And that's the answer. The answer is, where does simcha come from? When a person is doing the right amount of hishtadlus and is also having the right amount of bitachon. I believe that this is what happened at Kriyas Yam Suf that did not happen at Yetzias Mitzrayim. In Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem was introducing Himself to us and to the world. Basically, you guys sit back and enjoy the show. I am going to show you an array of my power. I'm going to show you different plagues that are going to show my mastery of different parts of the creation. Like the Mefarshim say, I think the Maharal says, that the first three were subterranean, the next three were on the ground, the next three were in the sphere of the heaven, showing mastery of Hashem over the world. But we basically just sat back and watched the show. Kriyas Yam Suf, however, was a situation. Everyone knows the famous Midrash that the sea hadn't split yet. Hashem said, you have to go in. And who wanted to go into the raging sea until one man, Nachshon, went in? Now, when he went in, did it split as soon as his big toe touched the water? No, the Midrash says that first he walked in onto his ankles and nothing happened. He continued up to his knees, up to his waist, up to his shoulders, up to his neck. And all the way up to his nostrils. But he kept on going. He says, I am going to move forward and I'm going to have bitachon. And only when he had done the maximum hishtadlus did Hashem say, now I make the water split. And do you think that the water split from that point all the way till the end? Says the Medrash, he had to keep walking that way. Every time the water split right when it was up to his nostrils, he had to keep on doing the hishtadlus. And Hashem kept on matching his hishtadlus with his miracle. Now I'm wondering, do you think that Nachshon was the only one that did that and the rest of us just went on his coattails? Or do you think, you know, once the Midrash says that the sea didn't split all at once, what's stopping us from saying that the sea split for each person as he was walking? Nachshon was just the first one to do it. And once he did it, we saw how it was done, and we followed him. However, be that as it may, Kriyas Yam Suf was a miracle that came about through hishtadlus and bitachon. When we saw that we act, and Hashem takes from as far as we can go and does the rest, that's why we sang Shira. Because hishtadlus and bitachon is the answer for how to live, and it's also the source of simcha. And when we live with the proper hishtadlus and the bitachon, that's where we have true joy. And that is exactly the formula. The formula is, Hashem gives us a Torah, and He says, now you have to make the choices. I've given you the guidance. The bottom line is up to you. It's in your hands. That's this world. That is where the reward of Olam Haba comes. That's where the simcha is. Because it's ours together with Hashem's. So that does answer the first question, and it also answers the second question. For the third question, we're going to take a look at a different idea. What is Hashem? What do we know of Hashem? The sages tell us that we have no idea of Hashem in His essence. All we know about Hashem is His works, His deeds. What is Hashem? He created the world. What is Hashem? He created people. He sustains people. He had a plan. He did this, He did that. All we know about Hashem from our Torah and from our tradition is how He manifests Himself in our lives. So we've now just reduced the essence of Hashem to Hashem's works, Hashem's deeds. And that's all we can know of Him. Now let's probe further. We know what Hashem did. For who? Well, for mankind. All right? Who's mankind? Adam, Chava, the Avos, the Imahos. All right, anyone else? My grandparents? In other words, who am I looking at to see what Hashem did for? My grandparents? Do you know anybody else, maybe closer than your grandparents? Sure. My parents. Hashem, I know what Hashem did for my parents. Okay, anybody else? How about me? I mean, after all, is there anyone else that I know more about in this world? My relationship with Hashem, is it not based primarily and most immediately on what He's done for me? Do I ever think about that? Or do I think about Hashem in a general sense? Do I think about the world, creation, this is how God created the world? But actually, wouldn't it be more appropriate to get as personal about it as I could? You know, like the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter on Yom Kippur, everyone was being mamlich Hashem, coronating Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is the time for malchios, for calling Hashem the king. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, don't forget that when you're making Hashem king over the whole world, don't forget to make Him king over me. Don't forget about that part. When a person starts to think of Hashem and saying, what I know about Hashem more than anything else is what He's done for me in my life, and that's what I think about when I think about Hashem. When a person starts to take Hashem on a personal basis, then he is transitioning from emunah to bitachon. From general faith, oh yes, I know that there is Hashem. But now I know that He is my Hashem, and that more than anything else that I know about Him, it's what He's done for me. Then he is living in the realm of bitachon. And that's what it means when the sages say, Chayav Adam Lomar Bishvili Nivra HaOlam, a person is obligated to say, for me the world was created. That's not arrogance. What a person is saying is that he should make the world personal. The world was created not for somebody else. The world was created for me. It's so that I would live my life properly, so that I would make proper choices, so that I would do what I can do to make the world better. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. And likewise, the sages say that when a person comes to somebody else's home and he's treated to hospitality, he's supposed to say, "Kol masha torach bal habayis lo torach ela b'shvili." He's supposed to think that everything that the host did, he did for my benefit. Again, people say, "What? Isn't that a little bit conceited?" No. What else then should you recognize? Should you recognize what the host did for your brother, your sister? Why is that more important? Why is that more your business than what he did for you? Make it your business. Take it as a personal debt of gratitude and acknowledge it and be thankful on a personal way. If you think about it, there's really no difference between emuna and hakaras hatov. In other words, the ultimate expression of believing in Hashem is having gratitude for what Hashem did for me. That is the difference between the makos and kriyas yamsof. The makos, Hashem did it. Why did he do it? Did I get any personal benefit out of it besides the fact that I learned more about his might? Not really. But when I was saved in Kriyas Yam Suf, then I saw what Hashem did for me. And that's why it was a Shira. And that's really where Simcha comes from as well. In other words, besides the idea that we said, when there's a combination of Hishtadlus and Bitochon, that's where there's Simcha. There is also great Simcha when a person realizes that Hashem did it for me. That's what makes it personal. That's where the person doesn't feel like a nobody. Because if Hashem did it for me, then Hashem obviously wants to have a relationship with me. He did it because he loves me. That makes me feel joyous. I don't feel like a nobody. Au contraire, I feel like a very, very special somebody. So, this is a very important take-home message. The take-home message is, let us, when we learn, when we grow in our emunah, let's not think of it as some type of a philosophy, becoming better in theology, knowing more about God in an abstract sense, in a theoretical sense, in an other sense. Let me grow in my hakaras hatov, in my perception that everything that Hashem did, He did it for me. Let's also take home the first message, which is to remember that I'm a partner with Hashem. It's my hishtadlus and the bitachon that He takes me the rest of the way. That's what makes me engaged. That's what makes me playing by the rules, and that is the greatest source of satisfaction and geshmak, personal satisfaction and pleasure, that it comes from that partnership. In these ways, we can truly experience simcha. What does this have to do with tefillah? That's a good question. We're here learning about tefillah. Because tefillah should incorporate these ideas. Tefillah is about a proper relationship. Proper relationship means that there's hishtadlus and there's bitachon. If we're having a hard time connecting to God, the chances are that one of these two ideas are lacking. Either I'm not fully engaged in the partnership, and that's why I don't really connect, or I'm detached. I don't see Hashem as my God. I see Hashem as some type of an abstract king. But when I stand and pray, I think to myself, what do I have to do? What does this have to do with me? So I'm not thinking of it as, I have a lot to talk to him about, because these are all the things he just did for me. Make it personal. Make it personal in terms of partnership, making it personal in terms of hakaras hatov. This is bound to raise our tefillah to a new level. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.